Today, I want to begin by sharing a short story about myself, a story that makes me feel, to be honest, quite ashamed. Something is changing in me. I just realized this. And what is changing in me is that I am becoming more and more impatient. I am impatient with myself. I am impatient with a lot of people around me. And what is striking me the most is that this impatience with people and with myself is just a reflection that I am being impatient also with God. That's the most striking part. I learned about my impatience toward God through my attitude towards the Bible. You know, more recently, I've been approaching the reading of my Bible, praying the following prayer: God, just tell me something relevant to my here and now. Something that is going to change my present situation. And obviously, we all know that this approach is not healthy. So I've also been asking myself, when did I start thinking that to find the Bible relevant, it has to give me an immediate result or benefit? And to be honest, I can't answer that question, and I can't point to a very specific time, which makes me think that the way of acquiring this mindset, this way of thinking, has been subtle. But you know, I've also realized that my posture toward God's promises is indifferent and also impatient. I lack interest, I lack enthusiasm or eagerness to participate, to anticipate God's promises and their fulfillment. I have realized that I am being shaped not to hope in God's promises. They seem too far away from my present reality. They are so far away. And waiting for me sometimes can be a very painful process. When you are in pain, you desire quick solutions. You desire for immediate results. So I am struggling with frustration. That's what I have come to realize. That I've been struggling with frustration, with waiting. And you know, my struggles are not because I don't believe in God. Not because I think that he won't fulfill his promises or that he isn't strong enough to keep his words. I do believe all that. My frustration, I have come to realize, and my anxiety is because he is not giving me what I want from him right now. That's the source of my struggles. He talks to me about future promises, and to be honest, I don't want to hear about the future. I want his promises to be realized and fulfilled in my life now. So what is changing me? I've been also thinking about that. What is changing me then? What is changing me is the water I'm swimming in. That is what is changing me. The text we are considering today invites us to hope for the promise of a greater future and invite us to wait with patience for its fulfillment. I'm going to invite my brother Mark Stover He is going to be reading the scripture for us today.
Good morning. I'll be reading Haggai chapter 2 from the second half of verse 5 through verse 9 from the English Standard Version. My spirit remains in your midst. Fear not, for thus says the Lord of hosts, yet once more, in a little while, I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land. And I will shake all nations so that the treasures of all nations shall come in. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord of hosts. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord of hosts. The latter glory of this house shall be greater than the former, says the Lord of hosts. And in this place I will give peace, declares the Lord of hosts. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Mark. Thank you. Hi, everyone. If this is your first time here at Ironworks, my name is Roman Gonzalez, and I am the assistant pastor of Ironworks. We are so grateful that you are joining us today to worship the Lord. Welcome. Let us just jump right into my first point. It is not a secret that in many ways, patience is a lost virtue in our society. We see this everywhere. TikTok teaches us that to pay attention only for seconds. Experts say that only the two or three seconds are critical for your brain to decide whether you stay watching that YouTube video or scroll down to the next one. You don't need to wait. The marketplace is training us also not to wait. Consider how Walmart and eBay have challenged Amazon in a battle for which company can deliver the fastest, because consumers' habits made it clear that they will pay big bucks to avoid the wait. And you know, all of us are swimming in the same waters, the waters of instant gratification and immediacy. Someone has defined instant gratification as the need to experience a sense of fullness without any sort of delay or wait. So how are these waters shaping our attitude and postures toward God's promises? If I am being honest, I am fascinated with the idea of God having a same-day shipping system regarding my prayer request. And I would like to pray today and by night, tonight or tomorrow morning, you know, at my door. The thing is that God doesn't work like that. That's not the way he works. By today's standards, you know, God would be the worst customer service provider if we put him to compete with Amazon, Walmart, or eBay. His promises are too far away from us to be fulfilled. And we don't like that. When we are going through pain, when we are going through discouragement, when we are going through difficult times, we wonder, when are we going to get the sense of fullness that we long for so much? In our passage today, the people of Israel are encouraged and motivated to work as they wait and fix their eyes on the promise of a greater glory ahead, not the immediate result of their work. Notice that there are five actions described in the text that Mark read for us. There is, God says that he will shake the heavens and the earth, then it will shake all the nations, then he says that he will fill this house with glory, and then he says that the glory of this house shall be greater. And lastly, he says that he will give peace. Do you notice that all of these actions are in the future tense? So those promises are not for them right there at their time. Brothers and sisters, friends who are visiting us today, you can see that their hope for a greater glory ahead impacted their present lives and changed the way they understood their present. And you know, I've come to the realization that that's something that I need to remember when I feel anxious about the future, unhappy about the present, and depressed also about my past. I must remember, and you must too, that God's delivery methods differ from those of the world. But at the same time, I need to be aware of how small things as delivery methods can impact the way I wait for God's promises. Okay, so that's my first point. My second point, hope is our motivator. According to our passage, hope motivates at least two things more, but for the time that I have, I'm just going to talk about two. Hope motivates missions and evangelism. If you are someone who hopes for a greater glory ahead, you should be involved in missions and evangelism somehow, some way. Look, our text says, "Once more, and I will shake the heavens and the earth and the sea and the dry land." Now, if you notice it, this language is creational language. It reminds us of the creation account in Genesis. In other words, God will build a new creation temple. That's what the text is saying. God is going to build a new creation temple by bringing all nations into it. This new creation temple is made out of all the nations of the earth. So when God tells them that, the people are encouraged to build the present temple for them in 520 as a token of the upcoming reality of a new one with universal dimensions. When they finish rebuilding the temple in around 516, this was not the new creation temple. They finished, but that was not the new creation temple that Haggai is talking about here. If you consider the story, that what happened, it says that basically that Zerubbabel's temple was actually smaller than the first one. And you know, it lacked the Ark of the Covenant, and it did not witness a miraculous event in the Shekinah of God that marked Solomon's temple at its dedication. So I suspect that some builders may have felt disappointed, but those who hope in God's new creation temple knew that the present temple that they are working in is just a token of the upcoming new, greater, and most glorious temple. So they worked hard. Dear friends, brothers, and sisters, is your hope in this new, greater, and most glorious temple? If so, let us do missions. Let us work hard doing evangelism. And let us wait for the Lord's promises to be fulfilled in its time. Let us take the gospel to Africa. Let us contribute to the ministry of JTI Hope, the Phoenixville Refuge, knowing that the temple's glory, that the glory of this upcoming temple will be greater. But you know, hope also motivates in times of trial. And I'm not going to say much about this, but I want to mention it at least. There will be a day when all your trials will disappear. One day, all the opposition that you are facing today to build the house of the Lord will come to an end. So hope in the Lord. Resist the temptation of asking God for instant gratification. God is doing something in you, and the longer you wait, the greater the glory that you will experience. For a moment, 2 Corinthians 4:17 says, "For our momentary light affliction is producing in us an eternal weight of glory far beyond all comparison." Far beyond all comparison. And this is my third point now: hope for beauty. Now, notice that people are motivated here to work for three reasons. And part of this motivation, Paul addressed in his sermon last Sunday. But one of them is the command to be strong in verse 4. The second was the reality of God's presence in verse 5. And then the third one is the promise of a greater glory from verses 6 to 9. So God basically what does is that he paints a picture for them, a picture of a future day when the temple will be built from all the nations of the world, and the glory of this temple would be greater than the former temple. Now, the word glory in the Old Testament is a very loaded word. It means a lot, okay? And I'm not going to go through the whole thing. But in this context, we can say that it means beauty in this context. Or at least part of the meaning of the word glory, it's beauty. All the nations, If you look with me, it says, all the nations will bring their treasures in verse 7. And then God says that silver and gold are his in verse 8. So glory is used here as a synonym for the wealth that will beautify this new temple. God motivates his people by telling them that the temple he is building is more beautiful than the former that Solomon built. Now, I know that you already knew this, but I want you to appreciate what is going on here. God uses beauty to inspire hope. That's what he is doing. God uses beauty to inspire hope so that they will put their hands to work. And you know why is that? God knows that man is by nature a beauty seeker. That humans are inherently drawn to beauty. He knows that we long for beauty. And not only the beauty that is out there, like when we listen to a fine piece of music, but also beauty within us. We long for that. We long to be beautiful. Dear friends, there is a day when God will finish his work in you. And let me tell you, you will be completely beautiful. You will be completely beautiful. All the ugliness of your indwelling sin, of your old nature, those things that you think about and you get ashamed about, all those things will completely and ultimately disappear. And there is a day when all the nations, as the new temple of God, the new creation in Christ, will be most glorious than any other temple. You know, in the Bible, holiness is beauty. There is an aspect of holiness that is beautiful. God, he himself is absolute beauty. Listen to what Psalms 96 verse 9 says. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Fear before him, all the earth. So there is something in being holy that is beautiful, and there is something beautiful in being holy. So if sanctification is the process by which we die to our sins and become more and more like Jesus, more and more into his image, then sanctification, think about sanctification as a beautifying process. Think about your sanctification as a beautifying process. Beautiful are those who are being sanctified. And you know, this beautifying process has been already initiated, but has not yet to be consummated, but has to be consummated. So hope in the promises of the Lord and resist the temptation of instant gratification. Wait upon the Lord and be strong in Christ. Amen. So now what I'm going to be doing, we are having a very special moment. It seems like every Sunday at this church, we have a very special moment. Really, this is a very special moment. We are going to have three children in our community being baptized today. And we are going to baptize them because they are children of the covenant. So in order for to do that, I'm going to call Andrew and Anne Mile, and they are going to be baptizing Malcolm and Eliza. And I'm also going to call Dan and Rachel Gallagher. They are going to be their little boy, Malachi. It's okay. It's okay. You go this way. So I had a record the last time none of them cried. I'm not too sure about that today. We'll see. We'll see. Okay, as a minister of the gospel, I have the duty to exhort you as parents and also the church to the careful performance of your duties as parents. So I exhort you, Andrew and Dan and Rachel, to teach your children the Word of God. I exhort you to instruct them in the principles of our holy religion as contained in the scriptures of the Old and the New Testament, in which we have a summary of the teachings of the scriptures of the Old and New Testament in the Confession of Faith, the larger and shorter catechisms of the Westminster Assembly. We recommend very strongly to use them and adopt them as the church also does, for as a help that will direct you and assist you in the discharge of this important duty toward your children. And I also exhort you that you pray not only for them, but also with them. And finally, I also exhort you to set an example of piety and godliness before them. At this point, I'm going to call Elder Ryan Estes. He is going to be asking you some questions, and same for the congregation.
Right. Do you acknowledge your children's need of the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ and the renewing grace of the Holy Spirit? Do you claim God's covenant promises on their behalf, and do you look in faith to the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation as you do for your own? Do you now unreservedly dedicate your children to God and promise in humble reliance upon divine grace that you will endeavor to set before them a godly example, that you will pray with and for them, that you will teach them the doctrines of our holy religion, and that you will strive by all the means of God's appointment to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord? And to the congregation, do you as a congregation undertake the responsibility of assisting the parents in the Christian nurture of these children?
Thank you. Hi. Okay, so now what I'm going to do is that I'm going to be reading the covenant promises. The reason why we baptize children is not because we believe that their sins are going to be washed away in the very moment when the water touches their heads. The reason we baptize children is because God has promised to include them as members of the covenant community. And I'm going to be reading Acts chapter 2, verse 39, Genesis 17, 7, and finally Acts 16, 31. And it says, for the two families and for all the kids that are here, Malcolm, Eliza, and Malachi. For to you is the promise, and to your children, and to all that are far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call unto him. And I will establish my covenant between me and you, and your seed after you throughout their generations, for an everlasting covenant, to be a God unto them and to your seed after you. That's a promise also for you guys. And then Acts 16, 31. Believe in the Lord Jesus, and you shall be saved, and also your household. Those are the promises for you. Okay, let us do the thing and see what is going to happen. Okay, if you can, yeah, that would be great. Okay, so what is the name of this child?
Malcolm.
Thank you. Okay, Malcolm, child of the covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Stay there. So I have asked each family to write a prayer so that we can join them as they pray for their children. So I was going to hold him in my arms, but I suspect that he's not going to be happy with that. So his dad is going to help me with that, and I'm going to pray for him. Let us pray for Malcolm. Father, we pray that you will bless Malcolm today. We pray that he will grow strong in his love for you and walk in your ways. We pray that you give him a love for your word and a desire to know you, that he may turn to you in sorrow and joy, in need and thanksgiving, in all the seasons of his life. Amen. And the same family is presenting also their second child, Eliza. Am I right? To be baptized also. Eliza, child of the covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Join me as we pray for Eliza. Lord, we pray that you will send your Holy Spirit to work in Eliza's heart and mind. We pray that you will give her a humble spirit and strength to seek forgiveness from you and others, especially when it is most difficult. We pray that you guide her parents, help them to follow you, to model a Christian life for their children, to serve as an example of faithfulness to your word. In Jesus' name. What is the name of this child?
It's Malachi Joseph Gallagher.
Malachi Joseph Gallagher. Okay. Malachi, child of the covenant, I baptize you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. May I? I'll try. Be careful, Dad. Okay. Oops. Thank you. I just did it to see if you were going to help me with that. Let us pray for Malachi. Almighty and everlasting Lord God, we praise you, we worship you, and we adore you. And we thank you for the baptism of your son, Malachi. We ask that you will richly fill him with the Holy Spirit all the days of his life, and that he would experience the deepest joys of knowing you and loving you. Send angels and archangels to guard and defend him, so that his days on this earth will bring glory to your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Let us welcome all our new members.